This live Nerdtacular 2013 episode of FilmSack is brought to you by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack and get a free audiobook download today.
Stand by while we try to wing it. Oh, this will be good. This will be great. This is going to work.
All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here. Coming back. We appreciate it. All right, we're going to do Film Sack. Here it goes. We start it like we do on the show.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourselves.
Yes.
It begins in three.
Three.
Two.
Two.
One.
Three.
That green-blooded son of a bitch!
Film Sack.
Yeah! Oh, sure! Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Sack, where my soundboard wants to screw up again. Fantastic. This is the show where we mine the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me today... They're all still fixing their mics. Joining me today, Brian, he's got all Spock's marbles done away.
Okay, wait. All right. Valkyris is showing some major cleavage in this movie. She's that Klingon lady. And I see how Valkyris is able to infiltrate the dirty old man contingent. And so can I get a Scott Fletcher boobies?
Boobies!
All right.
There you go. That's a, you only get those live now.
And can we please...
In Klingon. Klutla!
Well, how are we supposed to know that without any subtitles?
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Right?
We'll get into that. Yes, we will. Also with us, Randy Sexy Space Sweats Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Scott. Brian. Brian. For the sake of symmetry, can we call the plus one Randy? Okay. All right. So this week on Film Sack, we're going where no one should have ever gone before. A planet with enormous power implications, but no security. A place that none of us know anything about, but seemingly random people back on Earth a trillion miles away know in great detail. And we're going to get there by stealing a spaceship that's locked in a space barn next to a better spaceship, not knowing that we'll end up commandeering a piece of crap ship. Why? No idea. One more thing. Aloha, Nerdtacular.
Yeah!
I love how they do that.
It's amazing. Also with us, Brian, he has Vulcan puberty every 7 years to Ibbot.
That actually is true, yes. Ah! If we can learn anything from Spock in this movie, it's back up your hard drive, reboot, reinstall your system software, and restore your data.
Yes.
Well said. And finally with us, Shannon, I actually paid good money to hang out with these goobers Rafferty.
All right, the best scene in this movie can be summed up in two words. Han Sulu. Right.
Well done. Nice
very well
job.
Done.
Very good, very good.
Good job.
All right, let's get into it. It's Star Trek 3. And as you know, one of the bad ones.
Mm. The beginning of the bad ones.
Some people really like this movie, though, so I want to make sure that they, you know, we want to give as much love to those who like Star Trek 3 as possible. But I have to admit, after seeing it, I kind of liked it a little bit more than I remember liking it.
Yeah.
But there are also some things in here that are, well, you'll see the clips, right? You'll see some stuff. Full video, by the way.
Yes.
Not just audio. Yeah.
So, except for those of you listening at home. That's what Netflix is for.
Indeed. So before we go too much further, we always like to tell you what the movie is and then have Scott Fletcher do it proper. Go ahead, Mr. Fletcher.
Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. The film is the third feature film of the Star Trek science fiction franchise and is the center of a three film story arc that begins with Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and concludes with Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Whales.
After the death of Spock. Played by Leonard Nimoy. The crew of the USS Enterprise returns to Earth when James T. Kirk, played by William Shatner, learns that Spock's spirit, or Katra, is held in the mind of Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy, played by skinny-legged DeForest Kelly. Kirk and company steal the Enterprise to return Spock's body to his home planet.
There you go.
Oh, that's it. There's
oh,
more.
Done. There's no. more.
Okay. No.
Sorry.
It's longer than the damn movie.
Yeah.
The crew must also contend with hostile Klingons, led by Doc Emmett Brown, played by Christopher Lloyd, bent on stealing the secrets of a powerful time machine and returning Spock's Katra to the year 1985.
Is it time for this then?
Oh, Marty, we got to get back to Genesis.
Doc!
I can't
Doc.
Do it. Yeah, here you can do it.
Doc, you're telling me you built a time machine in the Enterprise?
Nice job.
Thank you. Oh, keep going. Oh, keep going. That feels really, really good.
Okay. You know what we call that?
Brian makes a point.
There you go. Yeah. All right, well, let's get into it here. Directed by Leonard Nimoy, his first directorial effort. He also did Voyage Home. And he went on to do, what was the little kid movie? The baby, Three Men and a Baby, was that it?
What?
Yeah, oh yeah. What?
He did Three Men and a Baby?
Yeah, Three Men, yes. And then the next one, Three Men and a Little Lady. He I don't know if he directed the second one, but he directed that movie. A weird wow. thing, right? I don't know what else he said.
Search for Spock is now looking like a real gem.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Let's just get into it. Initial thoughts of this film. Randy, what are you thinking over there? You're a fellow Star Trek nerd. How'd this hold up for you?
I was surprised at how good it was. I think that our favorite movies to talk about on FilmSack are either movies that are so bad that they're good, or movies that are really, really good in bad ways. And this film's kind of got to me because it takes itself really seriously, and it's like a good movie with... Every few minutes, this bad sprinkles are like dropped on it, but there's not this. I don't want to call it a bad film because it like there's good acting, there's good music, everything about it is. Admittedly, there's Christopher Lloyd, but like even Christopher Lloyd, he's trying.
And this is prior to, in all fairness, prior to Doc Brown. So this happened just before that. We didn't
right,
have him in
taxi.
Our head, so it was all Taxi at this point.
Right. Yeah, and. And I don't know, I can't see your notes from here, but I like the trivia that I read about this thing was that Leonard Nimoy wanted Edward James Olmos for this role, for
yeah.
Krug.
Yeah.
Wow, that would have been so good. What were they thinking? Like, Doc Brown in Klingon is just awful. It's just, that was...
It's harder in retrospect, I admit. I think as a kid, or as a younger, I don't know how old I was, so I'd have been probably 13 or 12 or something, and I remember seeing this thinking... Okay, evil Klingon's fine. He's all right. Yeah. And then I saw Doc Brand, and then went back and saw this and said, you can't have him in this. And didn't he stereotype him for anything he ever did again? I mean, I guess he was an okay cousin, or what was he in the Addams Family? He was a Fester, right?
Fester, yeah.
Right. And by the way, George R.R. Martin, I think, is sitting right here in front of us. I had to get it out of my head because it's been driving me crazy.
Very nice.
Love your books. Anyway.
There's five people just sitting
Why aren't you busy writing?
Yeah, what are you doing, right? That's just no
nobody
left
to write about.
You know when you sit out in the audience, you wonder if the people on the panel ever like if their eyes ever pass over you. Like you sit out there and think, I wonder if Scott just saw me sitting out here. Like you are being seen, sir. Every one of us is just going to stare at you for the next time.
Dunaway, where are you at with?
Well, I think Christopher Lloyd was acting wise was not a good choice, but makeup wise, easy. He's already got the eyebrows; they're already there. Didn't do anything with those; were his.
Yeah.
I focused a lot on Christopher Lloyd's character when I was watching this movie from his. I don't know. He came across as a very weak Klingon inflection. It just didn't seem very deep.
We didn't get Khan Jr.
No,
which
not
is
at all.
The King of the Hill reference.
It was
anyway,
Klingon cue cards.
Yeah.
The only thing he was really But one thing he was really into was his mostly immobile dog that he kept next to him to pet.
That's right. Man.
Nothing better than petting a slimy pet. You know, said your captain's chair.
But this was the age of puppet dogs. Mm-hmm. Like, this is when we did it.
And the puppet worms.
And the puppet worms, yeah. We had that last year. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, we fought the worms
in this movie.
The ones that grew from the things, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It had to be worms.
I meant to ask, how many saw the movie just recently so we could talk about it here? Did you guys all see it? Oh, good.
How many people have never seen it?
Wow.
What? That's not bad.
I'm amazed.
All right.
That's not too bad. No. Shannon, where's your head at with this movie?
I really had a lot of fun watching this movie. Despite the obvious plot holes all through it.
Yeah.
And it seemed like every extra had the wrong expression on their face.
Yeah, yeah. They did a lot of close-ups of people's faces making.
Right.
Well, do you want to, why don't you talk a little bit about the missing subtitles real quick?
Oh, yeah. Well, if people who've watched it recently on Netflix know that there were no subtitles under any of the Klingon stuff. Apparently, right. This is also the same way on the Blu-ray. And I think the recent DVD release. So to actually see the English subtitles under the Klingon speak, you actually have to turn on regular subtitles and see English subtitles throughout the whole film.
Or download from iTunes.
From iTunes. Does it built in?
Yep.
But every other movie where you've got an alien speaking, you've got the subtitles hard-coded in there. Mm. But to be able to be forced to watch all the English subtitles and watch, you know, Jim Kirk's, "Wait, we've got to... move the, get the ship out of the way."
That's a pretty good Jim Kirk. Yeah, that's right.
What's that?
Getting us back to VHS. But here's the thing. Yeah. Like, if you take out the subtitles, I understand they were trying to be technologically clever. It's like, hey, it's a new era. We can insert these where we want to instead of giving
then,
you to.
And then, people can see the Polish subtitles under there.
Yeah. All the reviews on Netflix are where are the subtitles. And it occurred to me, I went, I wasn't meant to infer what he was saying.
Right.
Right. Well, and
I feel like I missed something now.
There are parts that you can.
You did.
But then there's I'm sorry, I should be up close to the microphone.
Yeah, there's a microphone.
Gosh, there. I've actually never done podcasting before. But yeah, the scenes where you're trying to figure out what they're saying, it's not as telegraphed in as it would be if it was intended to be seen without subtitles.
Yeah.
You know, normally movies will dumb it down and say, and you won't have to realize I'm pointing
good.
To a box. What's that? That's right. The end of seven. Kissel the bar. Yeah, but they.
I might have enjoyed seven more.
I actually like the Italian version.
I like
of seven.
That better. Yeah, so I should watch seven in a different language. Yes. Won't make me angry.
Can I get a drop alert?
No. Oh my gosh, we have those. Hold on. Here you go.
I really like that, and I call this the Hunt for Red October trope. I really like it when you establish that people are speaking a language, and then you just go ahead and have them speak another language for my benefit.
Right, when it's convenient.
I was really pleased in the middle of this film.
Well, it is a trope, and you see it in a lot of movies where even it's like languages common to actual people and not made-up sci-fi languages,
right.
Where somebody will be doing French real loud or German, and then the other person will suddenly respond equally angrily in English, and now it's all English.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell if that's cool or if they think I'm stupid.
Yeah. Han had no problem speaking to Chewie.
That's true.
Right.
No universal translator needed.
Right. I was fine when the Klingons were speaking English when they were around the humans, but when they were on the ship, they were occasionally
changed
to Klingon English for no reason. Just.
Well, let's lay some trivia on you here.
Do it.
Okay. The villains of the film were originally intended to be Romulans. Must have run out of shoulder pads, is my opinion. But upper studio management wanted Klingons to be used since they were better known enemies. Makes sense. This is what studios do. It's how movies get screwed up. Leonard Nimoy does the turbo lift voice in the scene where Scotty does Up Your Shaft. Remember that? I didn't know that until I read the trivia and then went back and listened and then captured the clips. We'll hear it again. But it's Nimoy talking over the thing.
Really?
And I noticed they never use Majel Barrett as the voice of the computer, like all the series.
Right.
Well, except for the original series, but they don't use her in any of the old Trek people's movies. They use them in the TNG movie,
right. Old
for
Trek
her,
people.
Rather. That's weird, I think, that they didn't keep using her. Anyway.
I just want to stop you right there, because every time anybody ever does anything in a turbo lift, I always want to know why they don't just use the transporter to move around the ship. and it made this movie, I was actually questioning that all the way down. Like, if I had that tech, and I could just transport around my house,
what would be the minimum distance that I would use it for?
That's a great question, but the problem is you got to have a dude. You got to have O'Brien or somebody back there with big knobs to push. And you got to wait for him to say, energize. And then you got to slowly move your fingers down the thing. I think there's more. They make it look like there's more work to help answer your
And they've done it a few times on the show where they say, beam this person directly to sick bay.
Right.
Like
right.
they've got actually a macro.
Yeah, and I'm saying that. Yeah. Yeah, how is it that in 2012 Tony Stark has a robot that can just do whatever he wants, a voice command, and these people have to have somebody pushing buttons? I'm saying that if I had this at home, I would probably use it to transport myself around the refrigerator door. Like,
right. That. Okay, yes. Beam me to my quarters. Ba-doop. I'm sorry. Would you like me to search the web for beam me directly exactly. to my quarters?
That's pretty good. Well, and you can nitpick all that stuff. Why do they tap the computer communicator sometimes? Why do they only do it occasionally? Why can I be in my quarters, all in my space jammies, getting ready to lay on my space bed, and have somebody just go, Commander Riker, get up to the bridge? That's not very cool. They're not even a military vessel where you're like always on call. They're a exploration vessel. I've never understood that. But it's easy to pick these things apart. And I wonder, now that we have J.J. Abrams have done Trek and now doing Star Wars, I feel like the Star Wars versus Star Trek thing has gotten diffused a little bit. Like, people are less interested in arguing now because it's like, well, we're probably going to get about the same kind of movie, right? A little bit. And it's probably a good and bad thing in some people's minds, but now I feel like it's time to get into the movies themselves and tear them apart, like Randy's transporter thing.
Well, and this film made Wrath of Khan worse to me. You know, we talked about it a couple years ago, and we really liked Wrath of Khan, but this film I felt like was better than it in ways that made me realize Wrath of Khan kind of stunk. This film dragged down Into Darkness for me, which really surprised me. So I'm saying I think it's a pretty good movie.
What?
Like, seriously.
How did it drag it down
for you? How did it drag down Into Darkness?
I'll tell you exactly how. There's a scene early on where Kirk is back on Earth, and Mark Leonard... They act off of each other. It's a beautiful scene. It's very
Spock's
well
dad, Sarek, right?
Right, Sarek. Yeah. It's very well written. It's very well directed by Spock. I guess that's hard to comprehend. But the way that they communicate with each other, the way that it's directed, it just really moved me. I was like, man, this is if the rest of this movie is half this good, I really like this film. And then I got to thinking, gosh, Wrath of Khan was a bunch of overacting, wasn't it? And Into Darkness is just this huge mess of action scenes just crammed together as hard as they can, as many as they can get in there. And like, I felt weird. Like, I'm supposed to hate this movie, right? This is not supposed to be good.
Well, I did come away with more liking it than I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that surprised me a little bit. I kind of thought we're picking the big, the freshest piece of poo we could see on Netflix, so that it would be the most fun for everybody to watch. And it still was. I had a good time with it. And there's still things to think are weird, mostly the way people dressed. I have a real problem.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Yeah. We'll get Chekhov's, to that.
Man, those jester outfit.
Yeah, his little Dutch boy outfit he had
on. Okay, well, looking at the original series, is there anybody here who would not put Wrath of Khan on the top of their list of the original series movies?
Without a question.
Jalen Jade wouldn't. What would you put as second? The motion picture
Which is the Actually, one where my, Spock my favorite, nerve pinches a horse?
I'm
going to
say, no, my favorite is Undiscovered Country. Seriously, that's my favorite Star Trek.
Yeah, it's a good movie. And it's a good movie, but all right, fine. You clap for Undiscovered Country. Khan, where's Khan for everybody?
That's a good movie.
All right, where's the one where he pinches the horse? Five.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
But that scene, come on.
Just that scene alone.
Epic bit of business there.
Worth the price of the popcorn.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, a little more trivia for you. Let's see. Where is it? Oh, the shot of the Enterprise approaching space dock, which actually was kind of impressive for the time, I thought. Mm-hmm. All that ILM motion film stuff was
and
really
neat. They haven't gone back and done any retouching as far as
you
know?
No, not that I know of. They reused this in various episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation with the Enterprise-D, and they digitally overlapped the D.
Really?
And reused that footage.
Just like superimposed the new...
And I was just digging into this deeper. It turns out tons of old Trek stuff, movies and TV, get reused in subsequent series and stuff way more than you would think. Like, that totally surprised me. And by the way, one half of This Week in Trek is in the audience somewhere. Where's Mike? Mike, if you hear anything dumb or wrong, you just put that hand up and you tell us, all right?
Gosh.
Already? Already we
He's
have?
He's been trying for the last five minutes.
Says Says the half of This Week in Trek wearing a Return of the Jedi or something Jedi shirt.
Revenge of the Jedi or something.
Starmite Gaines is such a large person that I thought he was standing while he was seated.
He's a tall man. There was a tribble in the bar with McCoy. If you didn't look carefully, you'd see it. Self-destruct codes for the USS Enterprise apparently have not been changed in decades.
And they're only and they're four digits long, so they're pretty easy to hack.
They are identical and to those in the original series episode, Let That Be Your Last Battlefield, which is kind of crazy. You talked about Edward James Olmos. He almost made it in there.
Almost.
Let's see. The young... Check this out, Transformers fans.
What happened? What did he say?
He said almost.
Oh, almost. Got it. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So Transformers fans, the cartoon, not the movies. Young Spock was voiced when he was screaming and whining out in the forest or whatever. Frank Welker, the voice of Megatron.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not the first time. Remember Anaconda? He was the voice of the snake. Right before he barfed up Lincoln, what's his name?
The rain.
That was the best scene we've ever seen.
Can we talk about Terra Baby for a moment?
Terra, what? Oh,
I just have a feeling that my partner, Brian Dunaway, has some things to say
about Baby?
A baby that when it cries, it shakes the planet.
It was scary, yeah. It didn't shake the planet, but it certainly had a bunch of staff members out shaking the bushes.
Yeah. This is a baby that comes with assistance.
It was scary.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird. Let's see. So Frank Welker, Welker and Nimoy would go on to share the role of Megatron and Galvatron in the Transformers the movie. This is the cartoon movie. That was really good, by the way. It was awesome. Welker would also provide numerous voices in Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen, directed by Nimoy's cousin Michael Bay. Well, that's a weird Thanksgiving. Do you think?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Leonard Nimoy and Michael Bay are freaking cousins.
Really?
Hmm. I'm checking
right now,
with
what?
Yeah.
The internet said it. So I
why not
said it right to my face. I have to believe it. Yeah. Who knows? But can you imagine those conversations? Like, Armageddon was too loud. Well, I thought 2 men and a baby or whatever was terrible. It was 3 men, wasn't it?
Right.
Let's see. It goes on to say Nimoy himself was offered the title title role as Megatron, but declined. He later went on to voice Sentinel Prime in Transformers Dark of the Moon. So there's your Transformers trivia for the day. In the opening credits, there's an extra long pause between Shatner and DeForest Kelly's names. Do you guys notice this?
I did not.
So it's all pretty normal beat, and then there's this huge space between Shatner and DeForest Kelly where Leonard Nimoy's name would have been.
Oh, really?
To sort of remind you, Spock's he's not with us. He had his hand on the glass and said the good of the many for the one and all that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All together now.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. You're supposed to be impressed by this stuff.
Yeah. Was there anybody who saw the search for Spock that didn't think they were going to find Spock?
Right,
right, yeah.
Well, it's kind of in the title.
Not here. Let's move on to Earth and save some whales.
There are a lot of people. there were a lot of people, like the guy, I didn't write his name down, but the director of Wrath of Khan has been on record to say that he turned down the job, right? He's nodding at me now.
That you know.
Because he liked the end. He liked that there was some finality to that Spock really did die, and that this is just a dumb thing movies do and Hollywood does to try to keep things going. It's kind of a video game thing, too. You see it all the time in video games. Yeah. So,
season finales of TV shows. Like, they'll do something that, all right, how are they ever going to get out of it without really thinking of what the end game is? What's the exit strategy for this?
But part of me wanted him to come back as a kid. Like, I don't want Spock dead.
You're
dead.
No, Spock is in another Spock castle. Dead.
Not now.
Well, like, what was the one with Tom Hardy in it? Nemesis. Skinny Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
They did the same thing, but they did it in the same movie. Spoiler, all right? I'm just saying it. Data gets killed, sacrifices himself for the good of the whatever, and they end up with this like less working version of him named B4. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they'd stop naming the movies literally too, which is too bad.
Yeah,
because that would have been a lot more fun if it was called like.
I actually like Nemesis, but
Star Trek Multi Data or something like that.
Multi Data,
you know, like that kind of. You know, like if the Usual Suspects had been called It's the Same Guy, you know what I mean?
I like it. That's pretty good. I noticed Klingons call each other my lord a lot in this, and that doesn't happen in any other Star Trek movies or TV shows, do they, Mike? Correction, please.
Oh, no.
Well, I got a mic coming. Hang on.
Great. We're getting corrected.
Audience interaction. This is how we roll.
Hang on a sec. This is according to the extras from the DVD.
Wait, how do you have internet?
Right, right.
Verizon, 3G. Verizon actually, this is the only place in the state that Verizon works. But according to the extras for the DVD of Michael Bay's Transformers, Leonard Nimoy is married to Susan Bay, who is the cousin of director Michael Bay.
So no direct, so, second removed.
They're not cousins, they're cousins-in-law. Right.
But that's even worse.
So they could totally make out and it'd be fine.
That's even... Yeah.
Exactly. Nobody would care. We're not really cousins, he says. Ugh. What?
What was the question?
Was something about some deal about something.
Oh, my lord. Using the term
the
my lord.
The my lord thing. Is that a common thing for Klingons to call each other that?
Nah.
Yeah, that was weird. Hang on to that mic for a minute.
Yeah.
I like having that down
how
there.
How much are we going to charge Mike Gaines?
We're bringing him his own mic.
Oh, nice. Let's see. What else? Oh, you know what? Okay, let's throw this around.
Yeah.
I really like the non-CGI days a little bit sometimes. Like we are showing everything now so high fidelity and so amazingly that you start to get burned out on it. You see it and just go, well, I know that's fake. It's really well done. But that Avatar lady ain't real, right? Or whatever. And I know they even captured a real person, so it's like a real performance. But you start to get a little bit of burnout, I think, on really good CGI. Now, I'm not saying I don't want it. I do want it.
I think you like the nostalgia of...
I just think it's an art to me. So when I see that ship coming in, the way that in Star Wars, where they really figured that stuff out, and that slow motion tracking where the ship's just coming toward the camera, that's still very pretty, very impressive. They don't get all shaky cam with it. It's an older way. Okay, so maybe I'm just nostalgic about it.
I think it is the nostalgia.
But I think really like it.
I think if, let's pick a good example here. I think J.J. Abrams would have used, bless you.
True audience effects, interaction.
That's right, and I love those shoes, by the way. I think if J.J. Abrams would have used non-CGI effects on the level of Search for Spock, you would have said, what the hell is this crap, right?
Yeah.
You would have, but looking back at it, there is a nostalgia of the matte paintings and the models of the rocks coming up through the ground on Genesis and stuff like that. But yeah,
wants to see the battle on Hoth CGI-ified, do we? I mean, maybe I do as a supplementary thing to watch on video for fun, but I don't want Lucas to go back and add that because there's such artistry to what they pulled off.
I think being able to see...
I know.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's out of his hands now, so...
Yeah, but looking at like a...
I have a Star Wars correction. They did go back and clean up some of the black lines on the white mat.
That's true, they did. Yeah. So you had less of that weird, flashy... Oh, he's over there.
Yes. Hello. But then you'd get a Luke that doesn't look like the, you know, like a little Ken and Barbie doll going up inside the walker.
So you're a reporter. I'm George Lucas. Ask me to CGI that. Go ahead.
Asking you to CGI. Yeah. So, Mr. Lucas, would you like to go back and CGI The Empire Strikes Back?
So I sold that whole thing to Disney and get off my lawn.
Thank you very much.
And jump in. Interrupt. Okay. Cut us off. Seriously.
I will. Let's see. Gene is only an executive consultant in this. Did Star Trek fans, we feel bad about that a little bit? No. We're okay with that. He was still around.
It was because of Star Trek The Motion Picture.
That was the only one?
Well, oh, no, it's because of what happened with it.
That's where everyone had camel toe and you could see it. Isn't it? Isn't that the one? They all wore the
jumpsuits.
Yes, jumpsuits.
Right.
I mean, before TNG got the idea.
We actually
again.
Had an officer with camel toe.
I said, it's interesting. Every time Gene's been in charge, camel toe. I mean, rest in peace and all, but camel toe, right? Oh, gosh, what else?
How about Miguel Ferrer? Did anyone catch Miguel Ferrer?
I got a clip of Miguel Ferrer.
Yeah,
you guys know the guy? Snorting cocaine off ladies while RoboCop comes to kill him?
He's one of the... He's the Sulu of the
Please drop your weapon,
what's
he said.
What's the other ship?
That
is the Excelsior. Yeah, he's the Sulu of the Excelsior. And he's much angrier.
Excelsior!
And then, of course, later in the film series, Sulu becomes the Sulu of Excelsior.
That's right. That's right. Do you remember all the talk there was about a new series with Sulu as head of... as captain of the Excelsior? I was really stoked about that idea. That's a true rumor, right? That's a thing? All right. I love this.
True
this
rumor.
Having him out there? This is great. Yeah, it's like having the internet here somehow. New Savick, new Lieutenant Savick, what's her name from Cheers?
Yes,
she's nowhere
Christy
to be
Alley.
Seen. Christy Alley's out.
How do people feel about that? Who would have preferred to see Christy Alley in that role?
Who could care less?
Who was happy that it wasn't Kirstie Alley?
Good. Right.
How cool would it have been if Shelley Long would have been on there?
Shelley Long.
Give her some eyebrows and ears.
Sam.
Oh, Kirk.
Oh, that would have been
awesome. I need to brush up on my Shelley Long impersonation.
Let's see.
That's Mary Tyler Moore. Mr. Grant.
I do remember as a kid and now liking that science vessel that was hunting around for, and it had her on there with the greatest American hero looking kid.
That's right. Yeah.
And I thought he died in a lava pit. He just got stabbed by Doc Brown.
Right. Sort of saving the rest of the crew, but maybe not. You know, but she tells Kirk, no, he died saving us. Well, you don't really know that.
Getting back to that science vessel, that thing really goes down easy. Like they just somebody poked it with two fingers and it exploded. It made me wonder about the this whole film is absolutely full of badass ships that are so delicate. And I can't. Which is it? Are they badass or are they delicate? Yeah. Which is it? Give me one. Yeah. Choose one. The Excelsior is so badass. Here's a screw. It's to save them forever.
Well, this is the movie that established the Klingon ship look, so I appreciate it for that. Because I think the Bird of Prey is cool, and that lives on, and we still like it. This one seemed like it was made out of pipes and things, though, weird.
Mm-hmm. And it was green.
But whatever. I think that's cool.
It was the first model. It was
that green haze.
1.0.
I think it's some of Shatner's best work in the Trek films. Like acting wise,
no.
Like that, I walked away. No,
no
wait,
you're
no, hold
so
on.
Wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Like I'm feeling the Spock's missing stuff. Really?
Yeah. I'm feeling like there had to be times on the set when Leonard Nimoy was directing Shatner, going, "Oh Jesus, what did I get into?"
Okay,
like,
okay.
Yes,
I can help you, Brian. Yes, I can help you. There's an untold subplot to this film that fixes it. In every single scene, Kirk is high. No, I'm serious. Every time you think about what was he doing in this scene, he had just had a huge toke and he felt like he understood everything.
A huge toke.
Right. Or he had just hit some acid and he was very confused. Like you see these early scenes where he can't figure out the obvious, right? About Dr. McCoy, who's
or the ship that just magically disappeared. Well, I'm sensing there's some warping. Let's look. You see this kind of weird warping thing going on? The stars are all wiggly. What's going
seriously
on with that?
Every
what's the deal?
Yeah. Every single scene, it fixed the movie for me. I really felt like, man, if you look at it this
whoa,
way,
the stars are all wavy.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
There. Exactly.
In the shape of a Klingon warbird.
Go toward that.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, look, we have a trope. The idea that the new ship is poop and always rely on the old ship.
Yeah.
Like Scotty just doesn't matter. New technology suddenly is my grandpa and doesn't have anything to do with it. No way they're as good as the old stuff. And here's another one. Bad guy always kills his people, which makes no sense to me. You're taking out your own crew. You need these people. He vaporized Baklok, or whatever his name is, so that John Larroquette could take over second in command. I can't believe in this movie still.
Sometimes you got to make a point.
That's right. Yes.
But you know what I'm saying, though?
Well, he only had a crew of about 12.
Yeah,
well, he really wasn't that smart.
Yeah, and the dog was really incompetent.
Right. He was stuck in that chair.
Didn't go anywhere. Just kind of sat by the throne.
Drooled a lot.
Yeah,
disgusting.
Stupid dog. Let's see. This was a bit, we talked about that. Fight at the end was pretty bad.
I got two tropes in a row.
Trope it. Hold
two
on.
In a row?
Two in a row.
So
okay, hold on.
First of all,
do this. Wait. Oh, it didn't do it.
No,
there you go. Slow.
First of all, whenever your planet is going down, it's lava island time, isn't it?
Right.
Like there is suddenly a video game to play. Where you've got to hop around. It's the lava level. It always
it
happens.
It is. It's the Frogger level.
When the planet's going down. And what does that
I have
lead
the higher
to?
Ground.
What does that lead to between two enemies? What does that always lead to between two enemies? Take my hand.
Yeah.
Take my hand.
Yeah. And one of them not wanting to.
Right.
Except, I guess in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, he had a little success with that.
Oh, there's like a thousand variations.
She goes for the chalice and
let
dies.
It go, Indy. Oh, yeah, she did.
Yeah.
But Indiana was going to, it was like they're going to repeat the
Leave
whole thing.
Leave it, son.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Do your thing, Brian. They named the dog what? Come on, Brian.
Oh, they named the dog Indiana.
Oh, do it in the voice, though.
Oh, they named their dog Indiana.
There you go.
Is that it?
He does an amazing Sean Connery. Just
not really.
Back. All right. How do you guys feel about the And the Adventure Continues title at the end? Let's not subtitle any of the Klingon dialogue.
That's the one subtitle I put on. Yeah. It's much better than the end, question mark.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, sorry to bust in on the fun, but I want to give some love to our friends at Audible.com who made this possible, made this episode possible, and our live episode possible of Film Sack. I hope you're enjoying it. We'll get right back to it. But I wanted to recommend a book I found on Audible.com that I think you as a Trekkie might enjoy. At least I know I would. Because I love me some Star Trek. We're talking about a Star Trek movie, so why not? It's Star Trek and History, written by Nancy Reagan, narrated by Kim McKeon. It is about 12 hours long, an awesome book, totally unabridged. And it's basically a look back at the history, not just of Star Trek, but how Star Trek mimics a lot of our own history, certainly in this country and around the world. And the impact of technology and the impact of the creativity in Star Trek and how that affects technology in the future. You can check it out now. Here's a sample. Play just a little bit of it for you.
James T. Kirk certainly knows his history, even better than his former history instructor at Starfleet Academy, Professor John Gill. In the original series episode,
anyway,
Patterns
you get
of
the,
Force,
you get the idea.
Gill was...
I won't pause for some reason. Good stuff. You can get that or any other book you want absolutely free. Did you know that? Absolutely free. All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get your free audiobook download today.
Kirk and Spock will return in Star Trek 4.
Yeah, and four, and it's funny because I think actually Spock having to start over, get his memories back, slowly kind of get back to where he was, explains a lot about how dippy he was in 4.
And 5.
Was he a dip? I tried to forget 5.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Oh, I did.
Remember, it starts with
he had hover boots. The Yosemite El Capitan scene. Or whatever it was.
Right, the Yosemite scene. You now understand. Oh, he's not, you know, mentally.
Oh, that's a roasted dog turd. That movie is the worst thing we've seen. All right. Any other big notes? What do you got?
Yeah, it always felt a little weird to me with the whole McCoy and Spock now sharing this thing that is almost deeper than the friendship that Kirk and Spock have always shared. You know, I mean, it's like, I have been and always will be your friend, but McCoy and I have kind of shared something a little
right.
bit more intimate.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Now read into that. Come yeah. on.
Well, I just had an intimate experience with your dad. Like, wow, what? That's got to be weird. Yeah. You're my best friend, but your dad came to see me and he put his
right.
hand
we,
on my
we
face.
Kinda,
and,
yeah, we gonna.
I might have that clip. I might have that clip. All right, we ready for clips? You guys want to
do
it?
Let's
do
some clips.
Okay, here's the deal. Someone needs to just lower our lights just a little bit, not too much, just so they can all see it. I don't want to mess up the filmer people, but we talked about this yesterday. Who has access to that?
Like we're going
to
watch the whole thing.
I wish. Actually, I don't wish that. All right, so here we go. Let's get this started. I better check my volume. Okay. All right, here we go.
Oh, thank you for that.
We're all we good, filmer guys? We don't want to mess you up. We okay? Still got spotlights? We're good. All right. All right, so they remind us at the very top of the film that this didn't work. Hold on. Why didn't that work? It's odd. All right. The very beginning of the film, Spock was almost human. This is short.
Human.
Okay, I'm going to do it one more time.
Human.
I love his sideways. Human. Need you to be emotional.
That's right.
Human.
There you go.
So, but again, you're disagreeing with me that Kirk is doing a good job acting?
This was old footage. This was Wrath of Khan footage.
Sure, but I'm just saying.
But like, later on, I think he was kind of nailing it. When he was feeling it with his dad and kind of feeling bad, I thought he was all right. There was a point where he...
Feeling it with his dad. Come on.
Wow.
That's true.
Ice Worm, you going to cut that out and send it in to me or something?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh my.
Next clip is Something's Not Right.
Use this Enterprise captain's personal log. With most of our battle damage repaired, we're almost home. Yet I feel uneasy. And I wonder why.
Okay. All right. Once again, tell me Kirk wasn't drunk. And that's seriously.
I'm just concerned about
so
the Janeway
drunk.
Thing at the end. That's all
oh, I know.
About.
I know. That's, but seriously, drunk.
All right,
Kirk.
Drunk. Well, there's more. We'll see if he's drunk. He was known to put down a few alcoholic
he's
beverages in his time.
Man.
What? Oh, our villain, everyone.
Kavamde vijerinta.
It's not her.
Chable la ber.
Well done, Val Chris. Well done.
What the hell is...
I don't know how they left that in the DVD release. It's weird, right? All right, Doc Brown's puppet dog. Just a little puppet dog, not much.
Stop.
That's about the extent of most of his dialogue, too, by the way. All right, he said poo.
Marsh, Delech, poo.
Poo.
He did say poo.
Scotty is a smartass, part one.
She's supposed to have transwarp drive. Aye. And if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a wagon.
I love that. I tried to come up with other things my grandma
mean,
could
actually?
Have. Yeah, what else could your grandma have that might be?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's weird.
You could make her into things. If my grandma had a penis, she would be a man.
My grandmother had testicles, she'd have taste buds.
That's what we call a callback. A callback. Nice work.
Points for Brian.
All right. So this isn't exactly what you might expect, but it reminded me of space football. If football in space was being played in the 30s, you get why I mean it. Here you go. Those guys.
What's up?
Those guys are awesome. Aren't they the same guards in one? I think they are. Say, yeah.
Aren't they the same guys? And we ain't found shit. Spaceballs.
Yeah. They're totally Spaceballs guys.
Yeah, the Spaceballs guys.
I also noticed these guys are the worst security ever. They let Admiral go into the recently broken in room before they clear it.
Yeah, perfect.
We're going in. You're going in.
Our guns.
You don't mess with Kirk. All right. Yeah. That's right. Something's wrong with Bones.
Bones, Mount Celea is on Vulcan. We're home. On Earth.
Snap out of it.
Remember.
That sounded like Spock, didn't
it? The clue.
Might have Spock in him. All right. Sweet furniture, dude.
Execute standard orbital approach.
Standard orbit, aye, sir.
When did Pink, dude? Like, what's going on? That is terrible in there.
This is Star Trek 3, Hello Kitty.
Yeah, Hello Kitty edition.
You guys remember from the first, the Next Generation when the guys started wearing the skirts? Like in the first couple episodes?
Oh, yeah, like security guys would and stuff. Yeah, what was up with that?
Weird.
Those guys came from the Pleasure Planet.
Yeah. Oh,
got it.
Yes, it's a European carry-all, too.
Yeah. All right, I didn't actually mean this next one to sound kind of sexual. I really didn't until I just saw it, so I apologize, because I didn't mean for that to be. But anyway, I don't even remember what the clip is, so here it is.
This is where the fun begins, Eric.
Just like your father. So human.
Nice.
All units functional. Recorders are on. Scanning sector 1.
Actually, I had to zoom that in.
That was awesome.
Because she's doing this really important stuff, and I'm like, what, dude? What are you doing?
Playing Centipede.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Extends. We watched.
I got to say, in all the years we've all been watching TOS, it's always been like that.
Yeah, they just kind of do this.
It's like,
right?
Well, hit the green one and the red one, but don't hit the blue one.
Yeah.
The blue one blows up the ship.
But that's why it's funny. We all think that our future UIs are all going to be based on Star Trek, and I'm not so sure, dude. What is this?
I hope not.
She's playing like Light Bright or something there.
OS 10.10, Light
planet
Bright.
Surface.
Insert coin.
Yeah. I'm all right with it. I'm okay with it.
That's called podcasting.
Right? She's no Kirstie Alley. All right, here we go. Leisure wear.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, look at this. Look at that
Admiral,
ring.
What's going to happen to the Enterprise?
Love that sports suit.
She has to be decommissioned.
Will we get another ship?
Sheep.
Anyway.
I'm George Takei, and you're going to like how you look. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Oh, my. Pretty epic. I like Kirk's jumpsuit specifically. I think that's pretty hot.
I know Leonard Nimoy did the directing, but did Sulu do the costume?
Yeah, the wardrobe. The wardrobe right there.
All right. What we got next? Oh, remember, here's a very important scene. Listen very, very carefully.
Fire. Very romantic.
God, so romantic.
It's interesting. You don't have to hit.
I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown bring me round again and fine. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
Well, I love it.
I could have actually watched that whole Shatner song.
Yeah, I could as well.
I saw that the day it first premiered. It was a science fiction awards show or something in like 72 or something like that. And I was 6 years old and I went, what is happening to my hero?
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that when you have a whole panel of green buttons, it doesn't really matter which one you touch? But when you're going to put your hand on someone's face, like you have to get the finger in just the right spot. He could have lobotomized Kirk, just, you know, just by getting the wrong spot, like a tiny bit.
Yeah. You go through Ibbot's head right from here.
That's the soft spot.
That's right.
All right.
I think actually, Randy, I see what you mean about him being high. Yeah. From that last clip.
Kirk is high in every scene. It's amazing.
All right. Well, do what you got to do to get through the shooting schedule, I guess. Classic Shatner. I like this.
Yes. But how? What if he joined with someone else?
Just shooting up out of the couch.
Right? I rest my case.
Yes. These are like stimulants, though. This is He's done with the lewds. He's on to cocaine or whatever. Really besmirching his drug use on the show.
No. I'm not talking about Shatner. I'm talking about Kirk. Let's keep that.
Best stash in the film.
Best stash in the film. Check it out.
This business about Spock and McCoy.
Yeah.
Honestly, I never understood Vulcan mysticism.
It's hot, dude. They're almost separate. They're like two entities. They're like Shane's earlobes in Walking Dead. They get their own trailer now. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Stars on the Rise. All right. I know that voice, so listen closely.
How much and how soon? How soon is now? How much is where? Somewhere in the Mutara sector.
Oh, Mutara restricted. Take permits, many, money, more.
If you'd look that guy up, he's done commercials, like a ton of commercial work, and he did like not Joe Isuzu. I wish. He did jelly commercials, like grape jelly commercials.
Hmm.
And you can kind of hear it. So this is just indulging my own stupid thing. But
grape jelly.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that he says, how soon is now?
Yeah.
That's a nice Smith's reference right there.
Is it? You think that's what they were going for? Mm. All right. Sega Genesis.
Genesis.
Genesis?
Yes, Genesis. How can you be deaf with ears like that?
Gotta love Bones. I don't know what this one is, so here we go. All together now. Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I forgot about that. It does sound like Jury, doesn't it? Just a little bit. All right. Name calling.
Keeping you busy?
That dude.
Don't get smart, Tiny.
Tiny, dude?
Dude.
All right, he gets his revenge. Hold on.
I guess I didn't fully understand that the whole Bluetooth earpiece douchebaggery was going on that long ago.
Yeah. It's just that weird helmet that didn't carry forward, or that mustache, or those tights, or any of this stuff. All right, it's a little revenge.
Starfleet's about sick. Here, take a look.
Yeah.
Side elevator. Agents on their way up. Don't call me Tiny.
Yeah.
Boring conversation anyway.
That's what it reminded me of. Total Star Wars scene there. All right. Scotty's a smartass. Part two.
Level, please.
Transporter room.
Thank you.
Up your shaft.
Best part is where it paused right there with his eyeball.
Scotty's one of the best things about this.
Yep, totally. This movie. Yeah. Okay, here's your RoboCop connection. Talked about that.
Transwarp at your command, sir.
That guy does like voiceover now for like half the movie trailers you see now. Yeah. This guy doing the voice.
And look at his hair.
Yeah, he's great.
His luxurious full head of wavy hair.
Yeah.
Drop your weapon.
All right, up next, don't mess with Doc Brown.
but stop! Gah! Hot the bah!
I love the other guy's just kind of checking it out. Sitting there, oh, he killed another one of us. See, and there should have been dialogue here. We don't know what this said.
I've never seen a phaser do that.
Yeah. Well, I can say it.
Well, the only... Okay, in Wrath of Khan...
What did he say?
Do you speak Klingon, by the way?
No.
Oh.
But I know the movie like the back of my hand.
What did he say? What did he say?
The guy at the gunner guy said, a lucky shot, sir. And then he crude shot him and he says, animal.
Oh, animal. Really? Animal.
Yeah.
Psh, animal. Lame. I thought it was like 88.8
miles per hour.
I don't really do a very good Doc Brown.
Plutonium.
Pretend. There you go.
It's very sexual.
Yeah. It seems so real, too, doesn't it?
Can I bring something back from a couple years ago?
Call back.
Oh, yeah. Tremors.
I like how many people remember that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Timers. Erotic Vulcan hand dance. kids coming of age. Here you go. He looks like Ashton Kutcher. Yeah. Ugh. I didn't like that at all.
That's pretty gross.
It's a little weird.
That would have been way better with Kirstie Alley. All right. Let's see. Night Court. Here's your time for Night Court. John Larroquette time.
Vessel entering sector.
Yes. Federation battle cruiser. Have they scanned us?
Not yet.
Shall we? Yet too.
He's kind of unrecognizable.
Yeah.
You know?
He does a good job.
I didn't know when I was watching it, to be honest. So there you go.
And that was the subtitle in the movie, right? That was,
yeah.
That was actually in the film.
Oh, check it out. John Larroquette. All right. A swift kick to the prosthetic. Here you go.
I have had enough of you!
Sweet. That's pretty good.
That was actually pretty
good. Took 8 hours to put that on, 5 seconds to kick it off. All right. Go out with a joke. I don't remember what this is.
I do not deserve to live.
Fine, I'll kill you later.
Oh, there you go. Ah, Kirk. All right. One more thing. Like Apple, all right? One more thing. A little out of context, but you get the idea. All right, that is our clips. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to fumble around and figure out how to play this without screwing this up. Hold on. It's time for awards. And today's awards, these are awards we give out to the films we watch, things that we think are deserving of various accolades, and they're right over here. The Bet You Can't Find Kirstie Alley Award. It's not in there. The, hey, that Klingon ship is about to go back to 1985 in the next film. Sound familiar, Doc Brown? This is true.
It's true,
with the whales and stuff.
That's right.
And the Admiral Mustache Award goes to the Admiral with the mustache. Yeah. Star Trek connections, just kidding. Although we miss you, Daryl, and wish you were here.
Yes.
Soundtrack grade, I'd give it an L.I. for, L.I. for I kind of loved it. Thought it was all right.
Yeah.
Some of Goldsmith's best work. Was it Jerry Goldsmith?
Dude.
Jerry Goldsmith?
No, it was not Jerry Goldsmith.
Who is it?
James Horner.
Oh. Well, crap. Why
Jerry Goldsmith?
So James Horner, though.
Goldsmith did 1 and 5.
Oh, all right.
So Goldsmith also gets the Kirstie Alley Award.
Yeah, he does. he gets the chick in the bucket, right? Oh, do we have a chick in the bucket besides that? You guys know what the chick in the bucket is, right?
Okay.
Yeah, Kirstie Alley's the chick in the bucket.
Okay, fair.
The chick in the bucket of chicken.
Ooh, zing.
Too soon? What? This is the crowd that went and saw Jury and Schwood, and I get the hiss.
Yeah. Let's do the Twitter post. We like to round things up in 140 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Friends are people who will help you move,
Good friends will help you move bodies. Gooder friends will help you move from body to body, come hell or high Shatner.
Oh, that was great. Hi, Shatner. Mr. Brian Dunaway, please.
Star Trek 3, where everybody wears those paper decoration frills around their necks like you put on turkey legs at Thanksgiving. You know what I'm talking about? It's like little chef's hats.
Yes.
Yeah. It's weird.
Very nice. I think you went over your character limit. Our fantastic guest, Shannon, sum it up.
He's dead, Jim. I'm alive, Jim. Got to be a way to make a movie out of this.
Very good.
Woo! Nicely done.
Yes.
Yeah. Good job, Chad.
Nicely done.
And then finally, Ryan Abbott.
Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Not the best Star Trek film, but easily one of the best reboots of Freaky Friday.
Nice job. Well, here's what I learned when you should have worn your Starfleet uniforms instead of the Liberace jumpsuits. No puppet Klingon dogs were harmed in the making of this film. Did I mention 23rd century leisure wear is freaking horrible? Kid Spock is annoying and sounds like Megatron. And is annoying! That was the Megatron part, right?
Nice, yeah.
Let's see. No idea what our next movie is. We're not going to talk about that here. We don't know what it is, do we?
Do we know what it is?
We don't know what it is.
Randy? What was it?
What's our next movie?
We don't know. There'll be one.
Yeah. Star Trek 4.
Give me a minute. Star Trek 4. Give me a minute. Keep on moving. That's going to do it for you guys. I'm really glad you were able to come out and hear us do Film Sack Live. It's one of the highlights for us of Nerdtacular. This is our third year doing it live. Special thanks to Shannon for being here and being on the team. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for Mr. Randy Jordan on that end. Thank you, Mr. Randy Jordan.
I could have easily told you next week's film, but I lost my connection to the internet. So.
Nice. Mr. Brian Dunaway, thank you so much. Big round of applause. Mr. Ibbett to my side, thank you so much, Brian Ibbett. Big round for Ryan Ibbett. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Scott
Fletcher, thank you. Mike, thank you for popping in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we go, we'd like to let Scott Fletcher do a couple of quotes. It's tradition on the show. He's got a couple of them. They're probably up here, aren't they? Can't entertain you while he's walking.
Riker walk.
He's doing the Riker walk. Woo! Can you swing around the chair? Can you do the chair? Yeah, watch this.
Oh, here it comes.
Don't hurt your taste buds.
Sorry, just a minute. Sorry, just one moment.
Yeah.
Please stand by.
Yeah.
We'll do two because I can find two.
All right. There you go.
Here it comes.
Oh, yeah.
That green-blooded son of a bitch, it's his revenge for all the arguments he lost.
Nice.
I had if my grandmother had a penis, she'd be a man. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
All right. That concludes this episode of Film Sack. Thank you all for being here. We don't know what the next movie is, but we're excited to see you. Check us out at filmsack.com. We are on Twitter at FilmSack. We love your reviews on iTunes. Keep those coming. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian. For Brian, and for Randy.
That's me.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.